Okay. It is January
ninth, 2022. And the group is small, but I expect it to be good.
Yes.
Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be.
Okay, well, I will. Oh, yes, Lord. We ask your blessing. Blessing of our time today. Again, we ask that your truth, your spirit, your truth,
your direction,
your very nature, your light to the Lord, that those things would flow. Oh, that wouldn't be us, it would be you. Oh, we ask for that. Oh, it can be so good when that happens, so we ask for that thing that is so good by your spirit. Amen.
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 I've been really feeling for a couple of weeks that what we need to do is to get the best understanding of God that we can. And it takes Jesus to show us, you know, no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. Now, it says in the King James that he has declared him. In some of the translations, it says that who is also God himself, which is, I'm sure is not part of anything.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
Why would God have to declare God? It takes something separate to declare God.
Yeah, that's good, Charlie.
Yeah.
I was just reading a little while ago out of the sixth chapter. Where was I? In 2 Corinthians. Was the sixth chapter?
I think it was 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10.
Well, it says to wit that God was in Christ.
No.
Where was that?
That God was in Christ, is it that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the end of the fifth.
The fifth chapter? Okay. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and has committed unto us the message of reconciliation. And I noticed that I think in five different places it says within three verses about being reconciled or be reconciled or the message of reconciliation, and to be reconciled means to be kind of put together, what are some other words that reconcile means?
Well, a full and correct understanding, maybe.
Yeah.
Be known unto God?
Yeah. I think any one of those things.
Yeah. Known by God, you will know God.
Yeah.
And that obstacle between the two of you removed too, which...
Yeah. It says to return to friendship after a quarrel, human beings are reconciled to God through Christ.
That's good.
That's what it says in the definition.
Yeah. Good. So anyway, God has called us to reconcile the world unto him. But it's like Charlie said, if you don't know him, you can't really reconcile anybody to him. The prerequisite is that we know God, you know. And when I heard a voice and we were talking about it, God said, if you want to find me, you have to look for me where I am. And it's like, I thought I knew him. But since that time, I have learned an awful lot of things about God that I didn't know. And it doesn't even matter that we know something about God. We have to have a living relationship with him so that when we tell somebody about God, it's real. When we tell somebody about God, we have to know who we're talking about. Jesus knew the Father so well that Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And I can't say that I have ever been in a place where I can say, well, I'll show you God. You know?
Just watch me. You'll see the Father. Yeah. No, I don't think I've reached that point either.
And Jesus said, he said, have I been so long with you, Philip? And you don't know who I am? You don't know me? And he said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Yeah. You know?
Caden.
Huh?
It's Caden.
Oh, Caden. Yeah, what a little blessing he is. And so, I mean, Jesus says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And so a lot of people said, oh, Jesus is God. But that's not what he said, because in the next verse, he says, it's the Father that's in me that does the work. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And of course, the Bible, you know, Jesus was the temple of God. And he told him, he says, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it back up again. And nobody knew what he was talking about, except that after a while the disciples understood. So when he rose from the dead, the temple was rebuilt. And The temple was not.
Wasn't God? It was a place where God was.
Yeah, it was a place where God was, or where God used, or God spoke from. And so Jesus said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And I don't. I remember somebody in years ago that said that. And sometimes he spoke as God and sometimes he spoke as man. But that's not what he said. He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. And
if you go back right at the beginning where you started, if it says God was in Christ, not God was Christ.
Right.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
You'd have to say that if it was Trinity.
Uh-huh. You know, it was occurring to me, what we have said was, he was not fully God, he was a man full of God. But there's a little more to it. He was full of God, and he fully declared what God was also. He wasn't just full of God.
Yeah.
I suppose if you are full of God, you would expect could be fully declaring it, but that is another element. I suppose you could be full of God and yet kicking yourself in some kind of way, which he did not do. He declared the thing that was he was full of.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Verse 16, I've never seen it this way before, But it says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So it sounds like they regarded him in a worldly way as, you know,
natural
and stuff, but then they saw a revelation there.
Yeah.
And that's what we need, I think, is the revelation.
Yeah. And so much of the world would see, regard Christ in a worldly kind of way, wouldn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we kind of have to get away from it
yeah.
and see the truth. I guess I've never saw that before. I never.
No.
I
no,
just thought they all, you know, the disciples just always knew.
Uh-huh.
But apparently they didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like us.
yeah.
Yeah, so we know them spiritually now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it goes on to say, then, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone, so. Once you get to know him, you become new.
Right.
And we have that ministry to bring that forth. We've been given that task.
I was reading in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. It's talking about, you know, our earthly house, our tent, and all that. And but it says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, if you don't receive the Holy Spirit, your tent isn't going to get redone, you know?
Yeah.
Because it says, before I should have probably chapter or verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And then it says, you know, now he who has prepared us for this. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For if we walk by faith, not by sight, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him.
Yes.
And only God can prepare you for that. Yeah. And that's by His Spirit.
I wonder if that term, guarantee, is what in maybe the other King James talked about, an earnest of our inheritance. Or is that earnest of our inheritance somewhere else?
Yeah, I always like that about the Holy Spirit, that it's given to you to let you know that this can take you on.
Right.
You know, I like that.
Yeah, and a guarantee is good too. But
you
put up some earnest money
to
show that you mean business.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, guarantee, there's no doubt, supposedly.
Well, that's true too. That's good to talk about a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
But earnest money, earnest or guaranteed, both really well. You're feeling okay, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I don't know if things my mom to come here. She said, then maybe as soon as we can do it at home and then do it. I was like, please, I really want to go, just because I can only do it like twice every other week because I'm not going on one weekend than the other.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
I had something happen the other night. Yeah, I was trying to think of where it was. Well, I found it. It's in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I thought it said this, and it does. It says in verse 45, as so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The first Adam, and then now the last Adam. And Adam really does speak of a spiritual being. You know what I mean? And then,
I wonder what the difference is between the two, though. A living soul and a quickening spirit?
Well, here it says the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
And then in verse 47, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And the word Lord doesn't mean that he became God the Son. No. You know what I mean?
It's just authority.
Lord is a
title.
A title, yeah.
Of authority, I think, isn't it?
Let the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus that you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God made him Lord and Christ. And so as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. But in verse 50, I got a question. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. In Luke, is it 24:47? I think it is. Where they saw Jesus and they said it's a spirit. And he says, does a spirit have flesh and bones as you see me have? So then if flesh and blood, if flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God, what did he have?
Well, I was looking in verse 42. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption.
Where's that?
42 and 15.
Just before the one
you just before where you were reading. Leading up to the first man, you know, Adam.
Oh. It is raised in incorruption.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't be exactly the same for Christ because he really wasn't corrupted.
Yeah.
But it's saying
but
for
he
us.
Took on our corruption.
That?
He took on our corruption.
Yeah. But, so, his flesh. You know, I think you have to see in there, if Jesus appeared in flesh, well, his flesh wasn't corrupted. You know?
That's good.
It's kind of saying corrupted flesh can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You know?
Yeah.
Now, the NIV says, instead of corruption, it says perishable. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. That's a little bit different than corrupt.
Yeah.
You know, the perishable means, I mean, it's not like it's starting to rot, you know, whereas corrupt does. And I wonder what the Greek.
But I'll tell you what's really tricky, and I have begun to realize this, it's no wonder it requires the Holy Spirit to give us truth.
Yeah.
Because each one of these translations may be using the same Greek word or whatever it is to translate it from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And whatever it is.
Generally it would be, yeah.
it's not corruptible. Another one said it's not perishable. You know what I mean? And so what we need is to have this thing really from the Holy Spirit so that we don't really know what it means.
You know, what's interesting is a lot of times in the past, each one of us would come with something, you know, that's been revealed during the week or whatever, and you'd share it, and then, yeah. But also, when we're here now, I think truth gets conveyed just by the fact that one says this, one says this, and then the Holy Spirit will distinguish truth out of what's really
true. The process,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is like what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, on the one hand, it's a little funny to talk about what we're doing as being prophetic prophecy. On the other, I don't know, maybe it is.
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, that it looks like that's a conflict with Christ saying, well, look at me, I'm flesh and bone. It doesn't say blood, but flesh and bone. And then it says here, well, flesh and blood, or whatever, can inherit the kingdom of heaven. But then if the Holy Spirit goes, well, here, let us try to clarify that. Maybe not all yet today, but, well, yeah, corrupted flesh can inherit the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Or perishable flesh.
And it may be that when they put Jesus in the ground, the body that they put in the ground was a perishable one. There was a resurrection, and when he was raised, he was imperishable.
Yeah,
incorruptible,
imperishable.
Right.
He was, another word.
He's the resurrected Christ. Before he was the resurrected Christ, he was not resurrected. He
took on immortality.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality.
Right.
When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And this will happen when the trumpet has sounded.
Okay.
The death will arise imperishable, and
yeah, it is kind
those
of,
on
you know,
will be changed.
It
yeah.
explains it if you
yeah.
keep
yeah.
reading from
right.
50, you know, where it says flesh and blood. If you keep reading all the way down through 54,
yeah.
well, he kind of says, yeah, that's why you have to put on incorrupt, you know, you have to be
yeah.
become
yeah.
incorruptible.
We have to change,
yeah.
We'll be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption.
Yeah.
I was reading.
You know, if Jesus went to the tomb incorruptible, he would not be fully man. Because to be man is to be have a corruptible body. He was, however, resurrected.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, it was...
He was changed.
Right. I mean, and it was God that resurrected him.
Mm-hmm.
He was the resurrected Christ at that point. Before that, he wasn't, though. He
you
was
to say he was, like in 54, he was mortal and put on immortality.
Yes, yes,
and
that's
we
right.
We are mortal.
Uh-huh.
Put on immortality.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Death is swallowed up in victory.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
We're getting there.
Well, if we die to self,
I think the biggest change is going to come when we die. That will be the biggest change. We're striving right now to be that change, but it will happen at that time. That's the promise I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder, do you have to be perfect for that to happen?
No.
Paul said, I die daily. And if we die daily, I don't know if you are perfect in that, but there is something that is going to be equipped to be resurrected at that time.
Yeah, if you're perfect, you're tired.
But if you were perfect, you wouldn't have to change.
Yeah.
So I don't think so.
No, we're not perfect.
You know what?
Well, and that's something that, you know, for the longest time I've been. So what does it mean when he says, be holy like I am holy and all that? Well, see, in God's eyes, because he knows the hearts, if you're striving to be holy, you're striving to be perfect, then you're in the state of what he wants, and which is holy, perfect, you know.
But is that all we can do is strive to be?
Yeah.
If the Holy Spirit takes us up on that, and we, you know, the Spirit is on us in a big, big way, all this perfect behavior stuff, it kind of falls off. The fact is, the Holy Spirit is on you in a full way. And you are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, you know. I don't know. That's probably close enough to perfect as far as I'm concerned.
I think, too, you have to have faith that when it says you're born again, that your old man died.
Dies.
Mm-hmm. Now, you may be doing things that seem to act like it's not, but if it says it did, then we should have faith to believe that it did, you know, and that you may still not, you know, you haven't gotten rid of anything, but it says that old man is dead.
You know, we serve an eternal God. Eternal means time doesn't mean anything, so there is an element of the eternal about us, meaning whatever we will become is something we, in some kind of sense, are right now. If we are getting an earnest of our inheritance, among the things that includes is an element of eternity, time. You know, what we are right now is what we will become, or something. You know,
well,
in some kind of way.
Let's go back to the one that's been said a lot. If you want eternal life, well, if you believe what it says after that, right? No matter what else you may be doing, if you believe that, you're attaining the goal of eternal life. And I kind of threw in the goal because for us it seems like we have to keep it, you know, keeping on or whatever, but
the things that we call sin, the behavior or whatever that we call sin, it might not have just a whole lot to do with all that. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for, you know, behaving in a way that's displeasing to him, but it might, that's going to might kind of fall off.
Yeah, I mean,
Paul
kind of,
I don't know,
puts it in that perspective in Romans, you know. Then you have John, who really hits on sin in the first John, second John.
Yeah, right.
But he kind of makes those same statements.
He really mushes up that sin stuff in those epistles of John.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you really scratch your head if you're trying to diagram this deal. What's the sin, you know? You got to be without sin, but then if you say you're without sin, you're lying. You know, what is up with this? Well, maybe it's, I don't know.
I think when we put on the Spirit, we receive the Spirit, it's kind of like a cloak until we get to where God wants us.
Yes.
That's how God sees us, with the Spirit.
Yeah.
Not so much the flesh. We see our flesh, but I think God sees our spirit.
Yeah.
It's like if your child, you know, you love them so much, you see the best in them, and you kind of don't see the bad all the time, you know? And I think that's how God sees us.
Well, yeah. Especially if you confess your sin, yeah. Most of the time we don't forget it, but He says He does.
Yeah, He does.
You know?
Yeah.
It's gone. It's not there
yeah.
anymore.
See it forgetfulness.
So how can He see it? It's gone.
Yeah.
And what I see, and I shouldn't, but what I see is David. And here's David, a man after God's own heart. A man, and Jesus will be seated on His throne forever, the Bible says. And he had Uriah killed. He took his wife. And, I mean, it's another thing that David did too. And yet, it's almost like God never saw those things. Of course, He did. He dealt with them.
Yeah.
David paid a price for it, but, you know what I mean?
There may be a lesson in the nature of sinfulness in David. Now, I have heard David's behavior used as a terrible excuse for your own misbehavior.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I have too.
And that we must not do. Well, David, look at David. You know, don't look at David, fella.
Well, the minute you entered into that state of mind, you're sinning because
you sure are.
You're not where his heart was then.
No, you're in for excuse.
Like you said, you're trying to use it as an excuse for your sinning. You know,
You could see the heart of David in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
God looks on the heart.
Pardon?
He looks on the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't fake it. I mean, you can. Some people, I remember, you know, remember Bill Clinton? That man did such a great job of faking it. Oh, he was great at it. But, you know, excellent faking is not the real thing. It just isn't. It can fool us sometimes, but it is not the real thing.
It's been getting done a lot since then.
Yeah, more and more.
Yeah.
By
all kinds of.
Yeah.
I'm just intrigued by how sinful our world is. And God hasn't destroyed it yet. But look at before Noah's, you know, it was so sinful he destroyed it. How sinful were they?
Yeah.
How sinful can we get?
Right. Yeah, that's right.
How much more sinful are we now than they were back
then?
Well,
yeah. So he's waiting for something special.
You know,
I don't want to pick on, maybe I kind of want to pick on Bill Clinton. I don't know. but my reason for raising him is I think I can maybe kind of fake it right along with Bill Clinton. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm totally clean of whatever it was that Bill Clinton would be pulling off. You know, I don't know.
But what is your heart compared to?
Yeah, right.
There's a lot going on in the world right now, and to be dealing with it. Been watching this, listening, and just a little bit off the subject, but I was looking at this card to prove you got the COVID shot. And I'm thinking, that's the threshold of the end times and of getting the mark of the beast.
There's a lot of similarity to the mark of the beast.
Yeah. And I, you know, and the Bible says the mark is 666, and you know, when you look at a barcode, there's three long lines, and each line is a six. The long ones. So, when you buy groceries, they scan it off that barcode. You know what? That's going to be, in my thinking and the way I feel, that's what's going to be the sign of the beast, is that barcode, and they're just going to scan you. It's not going to be 666 up here. It's going to be COVID. I know that's off the subject, but I feel that these things are coming really fast on us. And we better be better prepared.
lots of luck trying to buy something from a store if you don't use the barcode on the product.
Yeah, and you can't buy it.
Yeah.
You know what?
Their inventory and everything else is based on that barcode. How many were sold that day, how many they have to order, it's all based on that barcode.
And we're getting so used to it that a lot of people aren't going to recognize it.
The minute they want to put something on me or in me, I know that's it. I ain't doing it.
I better start.
Well, Glenn's got a point. That stuff is a kind of a runway landing script.
They'll just bring it in little increments.
Yep.
Which that's one of them, is that card.
Yeah, because you can't get on an airplane without it.
Yeah.
What if you can't do without it?
They want to control you.
Yeah.
And they have facial recognition systems, and the iris of the eye is a better identifier than fingerprints. And
yeah.
So lateral.
I hate to see my mother and dad leave this earth, but today I'm glad they're gone. You know, it's not a good thing to say, but when you look at what the world is today and what they grew up in, I don't know if they survived very well. I'm sorry for our grandkids and our kids, too.
Yeah, because
we're forcing five-year-olds to get the shot. They're going to mandatory.
You got to speak a little louder, Kate.
Yeah, speak up,
Kate.
It's hard seeing people die, but if they, are here now, it's you're right, they wouldn't survive very long after, other, pandemics or other things that happened. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't.
It'd be a lot harder on
them,
wouldn't it?
I didn't mean to change the subject. It was on my heart to bring this up.
Ready for a change.
So. But I do want to read one thing out of 1 Corinthians verse, chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of death.
And that's referring, I suppose, to the first Adam and then the second Adam.
Yep. Verses as the first, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive.
Yeah, the thing that I picked up out of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians was the similarity between Christ, between Adam and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They're both men.
And if Adam wouldn't have been, then Christ wouldn't be.
That's right.
There'd be no reason for Christ.
In the line, you read the genealogy there in the book of Luke, and who's the father of, who's the father of, who's the father of, who's the, who's Adam, who's the father, whose father was father.
Well, I mean, in the fact that if there wasn't a fallen Adam, you wouldn't need the Christ.
The risen one.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because there wouldn't have been.
Barbara and I were talking about a couple of weeks ago, calling around Adam. When did the serpent come into the Garden of Eden? After Eve or before Eve? You asked me that question.
I mean,
it had to be after Eve because he couldn't tempt Adam with anything. But that was my thought.
He may have been biding his time. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
he created all those animals before he created man.
I would say he was maybe fallen before Eve, but maybe not in the garden.
In the garden.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was kind of wondering.
I don't know. That's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting question, but however.
I don't think
I don't know.
And the serpent didn't seem to have the characteristic of snakes that we know now.
No.
The condemnation was that it slither around on the ground like a snake did.
Yeah,
sneaky. Right.
Yeah.
It was in that way it was condemned. Got around some different way, it suggests.
Kind of an interesting take that Adam was formed by from the dust of the earth, and God cursed Satan to wallow in the dust of the earth.
Right.
You know?
Which we know him to do.
Yeah.
And Satan and the devil was one of God's favorite angels, and then he
was his copy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, being the covering cherub, that's about as high as you can go, I think, in God's economy, especially with angels. Well, mm-hmm. And I think he was meant, it kind of implies he was meant to be the covering for us, mm-hmm. too, somewhat, you know? And he thought he was better than that and could be God. So.
Yeah, he was better than that's what he was trying to do in that sense. When he sent him,
I couldn't hear him. Charlie, you said that the animals were created before Adam. I think Adam was created first, and then God created the animals in Genesis, because as he created them, he brought them before Adam to name them.
I don't know if it says it like that exactly.
Fourth of the fifth day, he did the birds and
Adam did name them. Well, it says in 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now he formed out of the ground all the animals and all the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them.
Oh, well, okay.
And I never realized that before. I always thought he made the animals. And so
what chapter do you think it says it
twice?
Yeah, there's a couple of different accounts that aren't totally consistent. Right?
Genesis,
but that is interesting, though.
Yeah.
That he formed them and then presented them to Adam to
And Adam was there. And he formed them out of the ground.
I wonder if he's just repeating what he had done earlier and then brought them before Adam.
I don't know.
Well, to try to make it totally, totally consistent is something that we know to be a fool's errand in the Bible. You know?
Right.
Where are you at?
In Genesis 2, verse 19. And there, before and after.
But here, okay, let's see.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing because I always thought, you know, day one, so on and so forth. And
yeah, because right before two, it's talking about making the world, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. That was on the sixth day.
That was on the fifth day, right.
Is that what he made Adam? Was on the fifth day?
No.
No, he did Adam the sixth day, I think.
Okay, but it says in chapter 1, verse 17, or 8, 19,
okay, so
verse 20.
Yeah, it starts where he made the water, the birds, the fish.
That would be
the fourth or the fifth day. The fifth day.
I'm not sure how we're reading that fourth and fifth day. So is that supposed to be a day before that or a day after they were made?
That man created man on the sixth day, chapter verse 31. There.
It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, because it's either the fourth or the fifth day, depending how you read the days as they're written. He made the birds in the firmament and the heavens, and also the sea creatures of the deep, and every living thing that moves. And the Lord's.
But then, as far as read,
so
he formed them and then had Adam name them.
But like we always say, God doesn't exist in time element either.
Right.
Oh.
So
exactly say when the forming occurred in relation to Adam's name, but it certainly suggests there. I'm looking in chapter 2, verse 19. Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called each living thing, that was his name. I'm reading out of the NIV.
Well, if you go back in chapter 1, verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image.
Yeah.
So
the more you read, the more confused.
Yeah. Well, the two accounts are not totally harmonious.
No.
They just aren't.
So he's given this account.
Which, if you got an argument with it, then deal with it.
Yeah. Well, it just seems like he just goes into it from another little bit more detail and from a different point of view, but it's kind of, it seems to me the foundation is kind of set in chapter 1 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Confusing.
Anyway, those are the questions you brought up to me.
Another one that
I
had read too was when man ate of the tree of knowledge, there's also another tree there in the garden, verse 22 and 23, that is of life. And he said, we've got to take them out of this garden so they can't eat.
They don't have access to,
of eternal life. So.
I have wondered, you know how they lived 800-900 years for Adam, you know? It may have taken a while before access to the tree of life took full hold. And maybe they were living that 800-900 years here because they were recent descendants of someone who had been able to eat from that tree of life. And as time passed, whatever the good thing was that you got from that tree of life, it got kind of diluted or whatever.
Well, I was just kind of wondering, if Satan was present at that time, why didn't he give them both?
Well, I don't think God allowed that.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe the tree of life was a prelude to Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's, before when I'd read it, I'd just read it. Now I have to start questioning certain things that I see, and it just puts questions in your mind.
There was no problem with their eating from the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Until they got kicked out of the garden, and then they couldn't. But until then, have all you want off of that tree of life.
No, he says he must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat.
Yeah.
And live forever.
Yeah, you can't do both.
So there was a different tree. There were two trees, right. One of knowledge, and the way it seems to me anyway, the one of knowledge and then the one of eternal life.
Yep. Yes.
See, and if they had both, then they would have been, forever
and ever.
Yeah.
Yes. And it would have multiplied and it would have gotten real better.
And
yeah,
would
okay.
Like gods at that, or more of a god at that point.
It was an act of grace to provide death, in a sense.
Absolutely, to end it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst part is that after they ate the fruit from the tree, they hid from God, and He called out His name, and they didn't respond, and they just kept hiding.
Yeah, because they were ashamed.
That's what sin makes us do.
That's when they said they realized they were naked.
Yeah. Right.
Otherwise, they would just live in pure, you know?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good point. I always saw that, too. It's like, wow, you had this good relationship, and then all of a sudden,
eat from one tree.
Then you realize you did the wrong thing.
Satan could convince them, or whatever, the snake to, you would be like God if you eat from this tree. And then the worst part is that Eve just shoved the fruit right into Adam. And he didn't mean to. It was like,
she just wanted to share it.
Yeah, it's like, it's like we can be like God now.
Yeah, but and it tastes so good.
But it won't make you feel good because you would feel ashamed and you'd be like,
but Satan didn't tell him that.
I love the way that God made accommodation for Adam and Eve's need to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
He got out his thread and his needle, and he sewed together something out of that, you know, that hide there. The better thing would have been to have remained innocent, remained naked. But fact is, the situation they were in now was one where they needed covering.
Isn't that kind of like a symbol of what we were talking about before, the covering of the spirit?
Yeah.
The covering?
Yeah. It's a
the clothing to be a covering.
It's a...
That started out with just fig leaves.
Yeah, right. They did their own inadequate effort.
Yeah, they never provided the tithe or whatever.
Right.
It's all
permanent
suffering,
you know.
Yeah.
And at least I forget, I have a brand new great-grandson.
Oh, great.
Oh.
But Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wait, who?
Chelsea.
Oh, Chelsea?
Little boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because... Oh,
speaking of naked, huh?
Yeah, he was naked.
The doctor was supposed to go out, was going out of town, I'm pretty sure, what was it? On Saturday, I'm pretty sure. And that Friday night, she just went to a clinic because her doctor was already leaving. The doctor was supposed to arrive at wherever she was going for like a vacation for like two or three weeks. And then it was like, yeah. So we have a new husband. They just had him went home. Just went home. So they were home that night too. So
really?
Yeah.
At 8:30 at night, he was born. By midnight, they were home.
Me and my mom were praying at about 8:30 that she had tonight, and then it was like.
And it was right on her day.
Right on her day.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't happen too often. Now then.
How many does she have now?
Two.
Two. This is her second.
Yeah.
Yeah, Thea and I
don't
know.
Girl and
a
boy, right?
A little boy, yeah.
My mom was so happy that it was a boy because she's been saving all my, like, and my brother's little clothes so that she can give it to us, like, Angel or Chelsea.
Yeah.
If they have boy babies.
Babies don't tend to wear their clothes out.
Yeah.
And Angel's going to have a little boy, too.
Oh, my.
We're going to have all kinds of boys.
Along with all kinds of little girls.
Start your own team?
Yeah.
Because then you have all, and then Angel would have three, a boy, and then Lennox and River. And then, yeah.
Yep, I have got a good little girl.
Yeah.
We had all boys recently, too.
Do you know who they, Glenn, I don't know, we're slipping into the, I'm slipping into the business end as opposed to, I don't know, maybe, should we wrap it up?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, that's our service for today. God bless you.